to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 13. We'll finish up on this particular miracle. Read verses 10 through verse 17. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because of Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, hath not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond, from this bond, on the Sabbath day? When he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Again, by way of review, this is a type of salvation. There's also lessons for those that are saved, but we see the woman's condition. The first thing that you would notice about her was that she was bowed together there in verse 11. She was bound in that condition. She was trapped in that condition, could not escape it. We see that in verse 16, that Satan had bound her. The extent of the condition in verse 11, and could in no wise lift up herself, that is, she was helpless. This is a picture of the depravity of the sinner, the inability of the sinner to help themselves. People will say all the time, God helps those who help themselves. That is one of the most unscriptural sayings that's ever come forth. And many people believe that. Many people have said it. And you will not find that anywhere in the Word of God. In fact, you find just the opposite. And we see this woman could not help herself. We see the reason for her outward condition was due to something that was wrong inwardly. Verse 11, she had a spirit of infirmity. All man could see was the outward, but the cause of the outward was something inward. So it is today. We see the outward depraved behavior. That is the result of the inward. Again, the problem today is, you know, the media tries to tell us, especially after recent shooting, is the problem is guns. That's not the problem. The problem is sin. The problem is a heart condition. That's the problem. And we see this woman's real true condition is an inward problem. And this, her condition affected her entire life, as we've already seen. Everything that she did was affected by this fact that she was bowed together. So here she is. She's in the synagogue. Jesus comes to that synagogue. I believe he came there for her that day. He certainly knew she would be there. He not only knew she would be there, the Spirit of God led her there that particular day, that particular time. There are no accidents. There's no one in any service that's there accidentally. And we see the first thing we notice in verse 12, and when Jesus saw her. Now, certainly he saw everybody else that was there with physical eye. So when it says, and he saw her, this means more than seeing her with the physical eye. He saw her in her condition. He saw that she was bowed together. He knew that she could in no wise lift up herself. He knew that she had been this way for 18 years. He knew why she was this way. She was this way because of an inward problem, an inward spiritual problem. Satan, the spirit of infirmity, had caused this. So of all the people in the synagogue that day, Jesus took special notice of her. She was helpless. She had absolutely nothing to offer Christ. She no doubt was miserable. She no doubt was undeserving of anything that the Lord would do for her. But he looked upon her. He looked upon her with compassion. He looked upon her with mercy. But most of all, he looked upon her with an intent. With an intent to fix her. With an intent to straighten her up. And the intent of the Lord to do this work is seen in the doctrine of election. Election, the very doctrine of election, that God chose a people before the foundation of the world to save, speaks of God's intent. Speaks of God's intent toward a people. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. According as he hath... Well, let's read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as... That is, the blessings are in accord with something. And in accord with the fact that he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. That we... Now he's getting to the intent. He's chose us that we would be something, that we would be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated or having predetermined us unto the adoption of children. There's the intent again. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So salvation begins with the intent of God. God intending to save an individual. That's where it begins. We see, after he looked upon her, we see in verse 12, he called her to him. He called her to him. He called her while she was in the condition of being bowed together. He called her while she was in a condition of bondage. Satan hath bound her. While she was in a condition of confinement, he called her. He called her when she was absolutely helpless. Jesus saw her. Jesus called her. He took the initiative. That's always so. In salvation. If God waits for the sinner to take the initiative, every single one of us will die and go to hell. The sinner will never take the initiative. There is none that seeketh after God. The sinner will never take the initiative. God takes the initiative. Notice he called her to him. He didn't just call her, he called her to him. Called her to come to him. Why? With the intent of blessing her. He saw her with the intent. He now calls her with the intent of blessing her. Again, he called her, though she had no merit whatsoever. Though she had nothing, She did not have anything to offer him. So this calling, just like the fact that he saw her, it is all by grace. Now the calling lines up with the election or the intent of God. Notice in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for them that love God, to them who are the called. And they are the called according to His purpose. In other words, He calls them for a reason. The reason is His reason. He calls them according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. That is, those he knows everybody. When it says He foreknew, it means that's a special relationship. It's like we read in Matthew, "Depart from me, I never knew thee." Doesn't mean that He did not know them, because God knows everything. It means that He did not know them in a special way. He did not know them with the intent of saving them. For whom He did foreknow, He predestinated. He determined beforehand. He determined their destiny beforehand. And He predestinated that they would be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, that is, furthermore, in addition, whom He did predestinate, those whom He predestinated He foreknew, them, the predestinated foreknown ones, He also called. In time, He calls them. Prior to this, everything is before time. The foreknowing and the predestinating are before time. When He calls, that is in time, and it is according to His purpose. It is according to His time. And we see now that this, He saw this woman, and He now calls her to Himself. Those whom He did predestinate, them He also called. There's a connection between God's intent to save and God's calling. We see this also in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Calling and election are together. He calls because we were chosen, because He intended to bless us. So He saw her. He called her to Himself. If we go back to Luke chapter 13, we see between verses 12 and 13, she came to Him. We are not told that she came to Him, but it is quite obvious that she did. When Jesus saw her, He called her to Him. Verse 13, and He laid His hands on her. Obviously, she has come. She has come. Again, though it's not recorded, it is obvious that she did so. She no doubt struggled. She came. How did she come? She came bowed together. She's still bowed together at this point. But she came, and she came believing that He was able to heal her. I believe perhaps while she was coming or right before she came, He spoke those words, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." She had a spirit of infirmity. That was the inward problem. She believed that he was able to do that. Believing, she came. And we see God chooses, or there's the intent to save. God calls the sinner comes. Those whom he calls, them he also justifies. We read there in Romans chapter 8. That is, now God performs an act. Performs an act. Notice in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. These are all familiar verses. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me. That's election. All that the Father giveth me. Somebody gave something to somebody. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They will come. That is guaranteed. Every single one of them will come. And him that cometh to me, okay, we need to stop and ask, who is it that is going to come to Christ? Him that cometh to me, all that the Father giveth me. All that the Father giveth me shall come. Him that cometh, that's those of included in all that the Father giveth me. I will in no wise cast out. God has intended to save this individual. God has called this individual. The Holy Spirit works in this individual. The individual comes. Christ is not going to turn that individual away. People will say, and there's nothing wrong with saying it, all who come to Christ, he will not refuse. That is true. But the only ones coming are those whom he has predestined to come, those whom he has given, those whom the Father has given. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, again election, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. Dropping down to verse 44, no man can come to me. Again, if there was a period there, that would be the saddest verse in all the Bible. No man can come to me except. Something has to happen. Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Which is just another way of saying I will not turn him away. Psalm 110. Verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. God works on the will, causes them to come. So the Lord has an intent of healing this woman. He calls her, she comes. Once she comes, the Lord then does his work on her. We see the Lord here dealt with the root of the problem. The root of the problem was that she had a spirit of infirmity. Most people would look at this woman and would say her problem is that she's bowed together. Well, that is a problem, but it is not the root problem. The root problem is that she has a spirit of infirmity. She has a demon that has caused an infirmity, that has caused her to be bowed together. So, that she had a spirit of infirmity, that's the root problem. Her symptom is that she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Now, Jesus said to this woman, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. She had been released. She had been released from the satanic spirit which had afflicted her. And so there was a liberty. She had been set free from this demon. Jesus then touched her and made her straight. And he, Jesus, laid his hands on her. So now there is contact with Jesus Christ. He laid his hands on her. And as a result, there was a life-changing power in that touch. She had been this way for 18 years. For 18 years, she could not straighten herself up. She tried many times, no doubt. Others tried many different methods to straighten this woman up. But for 18 years, she remained in that condition. And then one day, the Lord comes to where she is, and he looks upon her, he calls her, causes her to come, he releases her from the root problem, which is this demon. He touches her, and immediately, that is, at once and instantly, God doesn't save over a period of time. Instantly, she, who had been bowed together for 18 years, was made straight. Now notice, it says, was made straight. To make is to cause to be. She was caused to be straight by a power outside of herself. She was made straight by the touch of the Lord. So there was a radical, immediately, there was a radical outward change. This woman has gone from being bowed together to straight. Everybody could see that a change has taken place. Everybody could see that. And it was immediate. There was an immediate change. And I believe that that is always true when it comes to salvation. There is a radical outward change. So, she came into the synagogue that day, bowed together. But she heard Jesus Christ. She came and she was made straight. She came into that synagogue bowed together. But she did not leave the same way. She did not walk home the same way she walked to that synagogue. A change had taken place. And we said before that her condition prior to her healing had affected every aspect of her life. And may I say that the change that the Lord wrought in her also would affect every aspect of her life. We're not talking about just a change in some areas. Everything she did now was changed. Everything. Everything about her was different. Her whole world was different. Salvation brings a change. And it brings a change that can be seen by all. Again, everyone could see that something had happened. Following this, she felt compelled. I don't believe she could help herself. She felt compelled to praise the Lord. It said she was made straight and glorified God. Why did she glorify God? Because at that very moment, she was very aware of the fact that she had done nothing to make herself straight. She was very well of the fact that there wasn't anybody in that synagogue other than the Lord that had anything to do with her being made straight. She glorified God because she knew that what had transpired in her life was the act of God. And I want to say that no one who is saved, the moment they are saved, Their theology is fairly straight. They're not Arminian then. They know who saved them. Now, a little later, they may get confused about some things and may become really twisted in their theology. But if they're truly saved, the moment they were saved, they knew. They didn't have a thing to do with it. And they knew that it was the Lord who did it. And the result is she glorified God. She honored Him. She exalted Him. And she did so before the people. She was not ashamed to do so. She came into that synagogue that day bowed together, but she left loosed. She left walking upright, praising and glorifying God all the way home. And when she got home, she had a story to tell. She had something to tell. And when she got home, they could see that she's different. She's different. Everything about her is different. This is what salvation does to a sinner. Today, we live in a time when, again, salvation has been so watered down that it means absolutely nothing. But you do not find that anywhere in the Word of God. So, Jesus can still break the chains of Satan, no matter how strong they are, no matter how long they have held an individual. He can still break those chains. And Jesus Christ can still straighten those who are bowed together. He can still make a life-changing difference in individuals, because He is the great emancipator. And we see this illustrated over and over and over again in all the healing miracles of Christ. Let's look to the Lord, a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord.